Hey everybody, it's Andrew. Welcome back to House Call. I'm here with my wife, Sarah, and we are continuing our series of Behind the Inspector. We took a week off last week, but we're back at it this week.
With Texas, Doug and Nicole of HTX Home Inspections, and it's a fun conversation. I actually got to know Nicole after we were on Spectora's podcast, and she reached out, and we've been talking like almost every day ever since, just brainstorming and you know, just someone to talk to who can relate to the position we're in as business partners with our husbands.
Yeah.
So, and particularly home inspectors. So it's just navigating that together and brainstorming. It's just been really fun to get to know her there, and then just meeting her video chat today was so much fun.
Yeah, this was kind of cool. It was kind of like interviewing our twins in Texas.
And yeah, Andrew and I, you know, we've talked on the show before about the standard of practice over there and just how, like, out of all of the 50 states, they're the highest. So it's just really cool to sit down with people who, you know, their standards are literally above and beyond.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we hope you guys enjoy the interview. Here we go.
Just a little my background, since I'm the inspector in this group. You know, I worked in the building materials industry for probably a total of 28 years, you know, as an operations manager. So I'm kind of familiar with the products that are used, you know, to build homes. And just last year, you know, it just got to a point where it was, I wasn't feeling like I was finding my purpose. And what really, you know, kind of worked for me. So I decided to walk away from it after that long, and just thought kind of I was going to go do my, you know, go work for another company, kind of do the same thing or whatever. But, you know, we believe in faith. Mm-hmm. And on three different occurrences, home inspection came up.
Yeah.
You know, so it was crazy because she, the week after I resigned, right, we were at lunch and Nicole was like, well, have you thought about home inspection? And
that really wasn't the time. That was a little too soon.
Yeah.
Bringing that up.
Yeah, exactly.
So
I don't remember it, honestly, because I was still kind of trying to figure out what I was going to do or whatever. And so fast forward, a vendor friend of mine reached out to me, just checking on me to see how everything was going. And he kind of mentioned Champion School of Real Estate, which is one of the big schools here for, you know, real estate and home inspectors.
Nice.
And he wanted me to go do real estate. I was like, man, I'm not doing real estate. That's not something I want to do. So just kind of left it alone. But I was curious about Champion, so I went and researched it. And when I did that, I actually saw home inspectors, and I'm like, wow. So I started kind of reading about it, and I'm like, man, you know, you can have your own business, blah blah blah. And I didn't tell her anything, right? But I wasn't thinking about the conversation prior, you know, I just didn't mention it to her for whatever reason. And
just
then
like my husband, it's fine.
Yeah. So and yeah. Then on the third time, we were heading to visit my mom. And we reached out to a friend of ours just to check on them. They planted a church, and we were just checking on them to see where they were and everything. And the pastor, he was like, you're not going to believe it. I'm going to Champion School of Real Estate to become a home inspector. So I'm like, and so as he's telling us this, I'm kind of smiling to myself, and she's talking, and I'm like, I can't wait till she get off the phone. I got to tell her. Yeah. You know, what's happening here? And so we got off the phone with him, and I told him, and I was like, this is fate. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And we got back home that evening. I got back on Champion's website, and I signed up for the course the next day.
Nice.
You know, and yeah, so just signed up for it, and the rest is history. I mean, it's, you know, I finished the courses and got my license, and HTX Home Inspections was formed and started
in a
pandemic. December 1st was our go live date. So, and it's been wonderful ever since.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's going great.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I understand the school was for home inspectors and then also realtors.
Yes.
That's amazing. That's so smart.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's all over the whole state. And you know, the major cities, Austin, Houston, Dallas, right?
Yes. I mean, you can pretty much live anywhere in Texas and go to Champion School of Real Estate just because it's all, you can do it all virtually. Awesome. You don't necessarily have to sit in a campus, and they do have campuses in most of these bigger cities in Texas as well. So they really do a great job, you know, of teaching and getting that information out there.
That's good. You're the first Texas home inspector that I've talked to so far. I have to ask, how was that exam?
It was. I don't know. I mean, because I passed it on the first go, right?
Good for you.
So not that bad.
No. The state part was easy, actually, because the state part of the exam was only 25 to 30 questions.
Okay.
The biggest part of it was the national side of it, and that was right at 200 questions.
Yeah, that's a doozy. But we are so personally impressed with the standards of practice out in Texas that we're like, dang, it must be like super hard. Because
I went through AHIT, and so when talking about the standards of practice, North Carolina is relatively strict, but every time the instructors at AHIT would talk about what you do and what's above and beyond and everything, and they'll say, no, you don't. No need to test this unless you're in Texas. Unless you're in Texas. You know, don't operate the TPR valve on the water heater unless you're in Texas.
You're in Texas, exactly. You have to operate it. But it's funny because even though we're in Texas, you know, I've talked to different inspectors and some of them don't test the TPR valve. Mm-hmm. You know, but that's part of it. But it just, I think a lot of it has to do with where you went to school. Because with Champions, when you go through Champions, yes, you do have to test the TPR valve. You know, yes, you do need to take the panel off the breaker cover just to look at, you know, behind that panel. So there are things that certain schools teach here that if you go to, say, like an InterNACHI course or whatever, well, your mind is kind of focused on how InterNACHI trains you to inspect, not how, you know, Champions taught you how to inspect. So there's a little bit of, I guess you could say, somewhat of a disconnect there.
Didn't you realize that they just cut the hours as well?
Yes.
Like he had to go almost 400 hours of education, you know, to get it done. It was a lot. And then it was so different because of COVID and they had to streamline some things, like the ride along, virtual. Actually going. It was actually 40 hours.
Yeah, 40 hour ride along. Like we're doing right now.
And now, March 1st, instead of almost 400 hours, I think it's
200.
200. So they just actually just sliced it in half.
So,
you know, he has to do the continued education every 2 years, you know, to keep his license. They have to have liability insurance.
That's good.
E&O, right? Yeah. E&O.
General liability.
General liability. So he has to carry that as well, a certain amount. Have to have required by the state carries. So it was different than what I expected, but it seemed to cover him a lot. You know, he was right as soon as he got out of class, he was out the gate doing inspections,
which is awesome. You know? And although those stuff do, it's like I didn't expect it either. I was looking into getting all of that anyway. I think North Carolina, you have to have it anyway. We have to have
general liability and all that.
E&O. But it's such a good thing to cover yourself. Like, God forbid, you know? So
Exactly.
So it was like having auto collision. You just have it no matter how big your umbrella is. Just have it.
Yeah, we got the E&O because there is an exception. Like, you're allowed to have I can't remember what it was, but there is an exception to where you can have a certain amount of money in assets that you can put up against. And so that, to me, that didn't seem like a wise move. So we went with the E&O.
I'm not going to put up my assets.
Put
up your house for it. It's okay.
It's one of the most common questions. I listen to Dave Ramsey like all the time, and it's like one of his most common like questions, he's always like, always get E&O, always get E&O. And I'm like, we're just going to get it because he knows what he's talking about and I'll just trust it. But so I have a question for you, Nicole. How did you feel when he was like, you know, I'm not really feeling this line of work anymore? And he's literally been in it for like a lifetime.
Yeah. So I was like the biggest cheerleader. Good. If it was up to me, he would have been out of that job 8-9 years ago.
No, probably 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah. His gifts and his talents that, you know, God has in him, it was just so much more than what he was utilizing at his current job. You know, he did an excellent job there. But, you know, sometimes things, doors close, and it was up to him to finally realize that door had closed. Of course, you know, I saw it years in advance. I was like, look, listen, because I'm so used to like, oh, I'm not learning from this anymore. I'm not gaining anything from this anymore. I'm out. You know, but he was he enjoyed mentoring. He had 45 guys under him, and he just enjoyed that mentorship part, the coaching part, you know, of it. But the whole job, the job as a whole was just getting to the point to where it was just getting extremely stressful. And so when he came home and told me, I was like, yes! You know, I was secretly praying for this. You know, so we had no idea what was next. He kind of gave me the short version of how it all happened. We didn't have any idea what was really next. You know, when you start thinking of I was already a business owner. Yeah. So all of my benefits and everything was with him in this job. And so just trying to kind of see what that looked like, how we were going to, you know, do that for the family. I was just like, we'll figure it out. You know, God's not going to just leave us out there with not a plan, you know, what's next. You just do what you feel you got to do in your heart. We'll figure it out. And, you know, and he was able to walk away there with a pretty hefty severance, and which carried us through the pandemic. I mean, he quit the week before a pandemic that we didn't even know.
Had no idea, right?
That's not provision.
Exactly.
It was like, oh, you shut down the rodeo. I mean, that's serious business.
Yeah, here in Texas.
Shut down the rodeo. It was like, oh, this is for real. You
know? Yeah.
And so it was the week before. So, you know, we went through it together. And, you know, thank goodness, you know, that was March. June is when it was like, okay.
Yeah,
we
June.
Decided that, okay, it was the home inspection thing. And so he was able to study and kind of go through that. So it wasn't too much time wasted there before we kind of got on the path of what was next.
That's good. That's cool.
Yeah, I was really happy. It was great. You got it there.
And you got plugged in with, like, I love seeing on your Instagram how much the realtors that you work with promote you. Because the one thing that really stuck out with me, Doug, is, like, you seem really personable.
Well, and I've heard that a lot. And I think, you know, sometimes when you're somewhere, for instance, like the 27 years I was doing what I did prior to it, you're not thinking about, you're preparing yourself for what's next. Until what's next happens, you know, and then once it happens, then you start realizing like, wow, I prepared myself for this, you know, all of those years. And so it just comes naturally to me. You know, when I first started taking the courses, it was always about, let's just try to help people. Because there's so many people that are first time home buyers who don't have a clue about, you know, what it takes to keep a home functioning properly. Right. You know, they know how to live there. Everybody know how to live there. Well, I'm not gonna say everybody, but people know how to live at home.
Yeah.
Right. But you know, it's just, there are things that go with it, that, you know, they don't know about. And so for us, it was just more of, let's try to educate people on, you know, the functionality of the home.
Right.
You know, so we're not just going to do the inspection. We're going to talk to you after the inspection. We want to go through some of the things that we found and kind of tell you how they operate or what's the proper maintenance schedule you need to have on these things to keep it functioning properly until it's time for you to maybe sell this particular property and move on to the next. So that's kind of our approach.
We've learned a lot that for some reason our clientele, just when we talk to them on the phone and they find us, we've never been big social media people.
No.
You know, no. And I remember you talking about that when I heard you guys before. Yeah. We aren't either, you know.
Yeah.
And so it just really resonated with me that not everybody is, and we can still make this work, right?
Yeah.
And so it seems like a lot of the people that have found us on Instagram mm-hmm. have been kind of the millennials mm-hmm. in the 30s, first-time homebuyers,
yep.
and they are open to just whatever you, any advice you have,
exactly.
anything you want to tell me, that is so open to it, mm-hmm. And you know, and so that's really good for Doug, because, you know, that was the one piece when he left his career that I was like, okay, how is he going to get that piece when he's so used to coaching and mentoring, mm-hmm. you know, that builds him up, you right. know, to continue doing such a great job,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
he's able to pour back into other people, you know, mm-hmm. and so we found that he's able to do that with a lot of these first-time homebuyers,
yeah.
these clients. I mean, they'll get the inspection, they'll still call us for just different things.
Exactly.
You know, or that's like a lot of yeah. people out here are doing new home builds, and so a lot of new construction here,
mm-hmm.
and so they might call us in May, and the house isn't going to be built till June. Or, you know, the mm-hmm. house now, because of the, I don't know what y'all experienced in North Carolina, but right now, with the builders, they are like, appliances on hold. Gas mm-hmm. isn't being ever connected to the home because the utility
gas
people,
meters.
Yeah, the gas meters. And so
same.
They might call it a day for the inspection.
Yeah.
Thinking the house is in June, it might not get built until July.
Yeah.
And so they're constantly calling offices to them with frustration.
Yep.
I'm like, look, we built two homes. This is what to expect.
Yeah.
You know, when you see the front door put on, you're getting right. close.
Yeah.
You start walking that house.
You're getting close.
Being able to help them, they appreciate that.
Exactly.
Know? And we enjoy doing that.
Yeah.
You know, we've always been a, we're just natural born encouragers.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Having those people to encourage this process has really been helpful for Doug. But he's got a lot of great reviews where people are just, you know, they enjoy that he's personable with them,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's not with them in one inspection thinking about getting to the next
he takes the time
that one to kind of help them and walk them through everything, you know, he does that summary at the end, showing them kind of, man, would really, remember the freeze?
That was huge. We did a video. We had, you have a freeze here in Houston, everybody lose their mind.
Yeah, kind of
like,
that.
You know. so we had that freeze, the great freeze is what they're calling it.
It is the news here. So it was actually a pretty big deal.
So we did, I went out and did a video right at our house, to show people where to turn the water off to their home. You know, everybody thought, go out to the water meter. And, you know, you got to have a special tool to turn off your water at the water meter. And I'm like, well, you know, everybody, most homes have a cutoff right outside of the garage, right inside of the garage. There are some other places in the home, in old homes, where they put them as well. And so we did this video, and it's almost... You know, I'm not going to sit up here and say a million people saw it, but hey, it went viral in our little world.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Didn't know. Didn't know.
Didn't know about it. And I don't know, maybe because I live with him, you know, or maybe because of my dad, I have no idea, but I knew there was a water, you know?
Yeah, well, you can turn it off.
But maybe because
same thing.
But yeah, it was just amazing that so many people found that helpful,
A couple of things, same thing with us. Like, I grew up and his father's a home inspector, so of course he's going to know, you know?
Yeah.
And so, my father was, super anal, almost like borderline psychotic about maintenance, he was all the time doing it. And for the first, 17 years, we rented. And of my life anyway, and he maintained it like it was his own house. Like, he was just that tenant. So when he bought a house, he was just on fire about it. So I was of course, how do you not know how to flush your water heater, And then we did a video on it, and people were like, I've been homeowner for 40 years and I've never even thought to do that. I was like, what? I'm just awesome. I'm glad we can help.
Helpful.
Yeah, like, but it just didn't even occur to us. But we were like, let's do it anyway because it's something you can do with the kids, and like, why not, you know?
Yeah,
it's remarkable. Like, it's one, remarkable how I've been ruined. Now when I drive around and I see all these homes, I'm like, those shrubs are way too close. Like,
yeah,
exactly.
They've ruined her.
But yeah, but it's like, it's so true. Like, people legitimately just don't know. And it's so great because, like, I love your videos because when we talked, when you messaged me, like, we talk like every day now. But like, one, I love when people just like, yeah, you know what? This is not my realm. But because you yourself are authentic and an educator and an encourager, it is so rare. Like, it's just a good, like, you get what you put out and people are just attracted to that.
Exactly.
And your content's actually valuable, aside from the richness of being encouraging. But like, you're actually like, that's why I love following you, because like, literally, I'm learning so much. I'm like, this is awesome.
Thank you. I mean, we talk about it at least once or twice a week. Like, man, I don't know what we're doing, but you know, we have no idea what we're doing.
We're learning.
It's actually working. And some of the tips you share with me, and a couple of people you told me to follow, that's been helpful. Yeah. You know, with social media stuff, and kind of learning from that. But in the beginning, I mean, still. Like, he'll do a video. I'm like,
She doesn't want to post it first, right? And I'm like, look, I'm running out of videos, so you need to post that video.
I get this. I get it. We're the same way. I'm just like, production, you know what I mean? I'm just thinking about like tempo and volume and delivery. And he's like, this is just how I talk to the client. I'm like,
exactly.
The lighting is weird.
So you're out there inspecting, right? Mm-hmm. This me and you talking now. So we're out there inspecting, shooting the video, and we're thinking like, me and Andrew talking right now. So we're shooting this video, and we're thinking like, okay, I got to send it to the wife so she can see what she thinks about it. So you send it to her, and then she's like, well, you know, what about this? And then now you're thinking like, well, I am trying to do an inspection, right? I do have a job to do, you know. Right. Can I do this inspection, and can you just take this video and do what you need to do with it, you know?
But it's that reminds me of a story. His mom was like, oh man, you see, I was showing his mom on Instagram one time we were visiting. I had to, you know, show it to her.
Yeah.
So I'm like, man, you know, this is Doug's video. And so she's like, oh, this is great. I'm like, you just don't realize right before that video, I probably was like choking him.
Very, it's like talking to a mirror. Yep.
Same.
I had no idea. And he does them so well. He's so great on him. I mean, he does it better than, you know, like, I don't think I would have ever been that comfortable that soon to be able to do talking on the video.
And
you know, it's just like you said, it comes across very authentic. He cares, you know.
Yeah.
So it's been helping. People have been receiving it and commenting on it. And each time you post one, it seems like it gets shared, you know, 50 times or so.
Love that.
Thank you for the insights. You can see it, you know.
It's awesome.
It's been very helpful, especially during this time of COVID and not really knowing how to find real
money. Yeah, market. So,
you know, the crazy real estate market, you're not going to just walk into an open house and think you're going to get a full conversation when there's a line out the door of people really wanting to see the house, you know.
Exactly.
So social media, it's been helpful with Instagram, Facebook.
Yeah.
We almost abandoned Facebook, but it's been picking up. And
good.
LinkedIn has been doing well.
Okay.
He does LinkedIn. I don't touch it.
Yeah.
We get a little bit from that. Not a whole lot, but I mean, certainly the landscape has changed dramatically just in the last year or so. Because I know when I was going through training and they have a marketing section of the class, if they haven't updated that yet, man, they need to right away. I mean, because it's still, you know, they teach you to go into the office, you know, take a platter of cookies or whatever and do a do a lunch and learn, you know, buy a whole office lunch. And it's like, it's not really working that way anymore.
And we, same thing, we're the same thing, you know. So it's just one of them things where, you got to figure out what works for you. And your clients, and who your clients are. Yeah. I mean, you know, you can, you know, some people do well, you know, taking a whole office to lunch.
I saw
somebody do it the other day. It was a mortgage
guy. In the office? Because here, I don't think they're in the office.
Yeah. Right. It's weird.
So, but it's
they kind of come and go. Like when you went the other day and dropped off the flyer.
Yeah, my brochure.
Was anybody in there?
No.
Just the boss, the guy that's running the
office. Nobody was there. The owner of the brokerage, he was there, you know, but the rest of the folks, they were at home, you know. So, but yeah, it's a, you know, I'm like I said earlier, I could care less about social media. I didn't have any of that, none of that, you know. We weren't big on it at all, you know.
It's been helpful, learning, and you gotta kind of learn to unplug as well. And,
yep.
You know, I know one of the questions we were talking about was, you know, what are some of the things about being a small business owner? You know, that are negative or whatever. I think the question was on the
screen. Like, what do you love? What do you not love?
So one of the things I think we talked about that we have to work on, are kind of a issue would be, or pain point, is kind of on the, I know how to unplug, right? Because people, you know, reach out all the time, you know. You could be Saturday, Sunday, Instagram, and I have to, you know, learn just to not have to feel like I need to be plugged in or respond.
And I mean, what I would say for, especially when you're first starting, you know, when you're first starting and you're trying to get that first home inspection, or you're trying to grow your business, it's a 24/7 type thing. You know, that's what it feels like. I mean, you're going to take that call at 8, 9 o'clock at night if it's a potential client that's going to give you an inspection when you're new. And that's kind of where we were. It was like, I didn't realize, you know, I have a better appreciation for realtors.
Yeah,
because I didn't realize the work they put in. I'm sitting there like, wow, man, these people, 9 o'clock at night, I'm getting a text message about a home inspection. You know, it just trips me out.
They're
just
getting started.
So you're sitting there like, and like Nicole was saying, you know, you, after a while, you start thinking like, okay, do I have to work like that too? I mean, do I have to, you know, have my phone on till, you know, 9, 10 o'clock at night, so I don't miss a call? And so you have to find that happy medium. You have to, you know, you have to find that area where, you know what, okay, you know, what do I need to grow my business, but at the same time, you know, be able to enjoy my family like I want to, or be able to take a vacation when I want to. So you, it's that balance that you're constantly trying to meet.
And sometimes, you know, if I'm just sitting on the couch over there and watching House Hunter or something, you know,
you don't mind.
Don't really mind. But sometimes I just, you know, have to learn to know that I don't have to, you know what I mean? But it's learning. It's exciting, you know. Like you said, we just started in December, and we had no idea this would be growing.
No.
I mean, he started December. So this year, January 1, by the end of this month, we're projecting to have done 140 inspections by the end of the month. maybe 10, 15 a month. Yeah. You know, we got to grow this thing. It's been amazing. Like I shared with you, you know,
I love it.
I'm trying to hire people, you know, because it hurts to have to turn people away, you know, especially when it's one of your usuals and you know, oh my goodness, you know, somebody's like, Nicole, you need to learn home inspections. I'm like, no, I can't get that. That's not happening. That's scary. But it's trying to just figure out what's next, you know, because, you know, we're learning these fluctuations, you know, like the week before, not this past week, but the week before that, we turned away like 12 inspections.
Oh, that hurts.
Yeah, no,
it's okay. It's good. You can't do everything, but it's like painful.
Now this is Sunday afternoon, and we have four on the books the next week. You know, so you're thinking, you know,
is it going to be a slow week?
How do you
ebbs and flows?
You know what I mean? Like the ups and downs. Like what does that look like? How will next week end? And so we're kind of going through that, and you know, you've given me some great ideas on how to do that, and like look at entrepreneurial leadership. And kind of the hiring process with Chrissy Bright and things. So we have some stuff we're just thinking about and trying to figure out how to do it. But man, it just hurts turning away people, not just the finance of it, but just also just not being able to
satisfy. You want to satisfy your clients, and you want to get out there and every call that comes through, you want to take care of it. That should be your approach. Any small business approach, but sometimes you just can't. And now that's where you kind of in that phase of, you know, expansion. Do we try to bring on another inspector or two, and how does that look? And so we're kind of in that phase right now. How is that going to look?
Wait a year, wait the end of the year just to kind of see, to kind of at least have some kind of benchmark on what your month look like, you know, in March. All right, what are we in April? This is May. No. So in April, huge, you know? Slow down.
And then.
What does that kind of look like? And,
right.
So we have, it's a good problem to have, but.
To navigate, you have to navigate it well, you know?
Yeah, you do.
I agree. Trying to figure that out and what that
looks
like.
That's one of the things we were talking about that I like, one, appreciate that I have somebody to talk about it with, you know what I mean? Other than my husband, because I'm more business minded, and he is, but I'm like crazy, and you know, like having somebody to hit the ball with, you know.
I just want to go do the work,
And it's just nice because, like, I listen to, you know, with the Entree Leadership, and I hear IEB coaching is really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's specifically for home inspectors. But yeah, I'll send you the thing. I haven't done it, but. I like how what I've learned so far is like to prep myself that like when we bring someone on, it's going to take a year to even see a profit from them being on because right now they're just going to fill in what you have to turn down. You know what I mean? And so just kind of like, but it's worth the investment. And this is the crucial part because they have to fit into that culture you have set. Like that, we are educators. We're not going to hit the panic button on this fire. Gotta
encourage.
Yeah, you're gonna. I mean, the thing about it, whoever works for HTX, they're gonna do it almost exactly like I do it, or they just can't be part of it. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to take the time with my client if I know they're gonna be there. That 30 minutes to an hour after that inspection, that's just what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
You want to walk them through that process and make them feel comfortable about, you know, okay, this is a great home for me to buy. You can't just do the inspection and think, oh, well, you know what? I'm done. I'm through with you. I'm moving to the next one. That's not the way, at least that's not the way we're going to operate. We want to take that time with the client. That's where I kind of hit my stride at, you know, when I'm one-on-one with the client and being able to talk to them about those things.
Preach that, because that is so countercultural. Seriously.
Oh, yeah, it is. Trust me.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard.
That's what
we get
to video about why you need to attend people loved it, because he put, like, this is why you need to attend it. You know, it's so much better if you're there instead of just getting this.
Yeah, getting this report, 70 pages, and they're like, where do I start?
Some people get the report, they call, and that's helpful as well.
That's
it's
great.
So beneficial, and he can walk them through those deficiencies and let them know, you know, like, what's serious, not so serious, you know, those types.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I think like get kind of a bad taste in their mouth about it is like, look at us humans. Like we heal, we evolve, we get sick and we need to go to doctors and we need to maintain ourselves. And we still heal ourselves. Houses don't. They just age and they will fall apart and a tree will go through your house if like you just leave it alone. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry, that image is because literally I drove by a factory the other day and a tree was coming out of the building. And I was like, oh, it's been neglected, obviously, right?
It's like life after people.
Exactly. Yeah, it was very like, you know, that Will Smith movie.
Yeah, exactly.
I Am Legend. It's really not that big a deal. A home, part of the like the privilege of having a house is taking care of it. You know what I mean? So like the report is just here's a list of what over the next year or two you can do at the Home Depot. When you're there and you need to know, you need a project, you know, here's a minor thing that you I mean, literally it's very minor, but you can fix it and it'll only benefit your house, you know? Hammer out these things first. Like these are the important ones. I think people get, it's like just, because we were driving by these very, very, very well maintained homes today. And one of the homes literally had, a thing in the attic?
It was the ridge board.
The ridge board collapsed. Obviously collapsed because the roof sunken in like kind of like a low U. And it's like they probably don't go up there. They probably have absolutely no idea.
They probably don't see it anymore.
You know? Right. Like the home needs you to maintain it. That's part of being a homeowner. It's just it's just not a fun activity, I guess, for people.
What better resource, you know, for somebody buying a house than the inspector that's going through and looking at everything.
And taking the time to like explain it to you.
Yeah.
I mean, I give you for example, I was inspecting this home. And I mean, what I've noticed about home ownership, it's more out of sight, out of mind.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see it, it's okay.
Yep.
So I go up in the attic and I'm looking at this, I mean, real nice home where you can tell it was pretty properly maintained. But when you get up in the attic, that's when you see all the stuff that's really not maintained. And here in Texas, 90% of the time, the water heaters are in the attic. You know, I'm not sure about out there, but they put them in the attic out here.
Yeah,
well, that's a common practice here. So I go up in this attic, and I mean, one of the water heaters, the supply water line, is corroded so bad it's leaking. And it's leaking on the water heater, and now it's caused that top cap of the water heater to swell up, and it's rusting out. And then the other water heater is swollen at the top. And so I'm sitting there like, wow. And the client was there. Well, not the client, the owner was there. And so normally I don't really talk to the owners a whole lot, you know, when I'm inspecting, because, you know, they're the owners. Yeah. But in this particular case, I was like, hey, you got to do something. Because if you're trying to sell this house, you're not gonna make it to sell it if those two water heaters burst up there in that attic, because you're gonna have over 100 gallons of water all over this place within a week or so. That's just how bad they were. But nobody knew.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's going up there. Yeah. So it's just one of them. Home ownership, people have to go look the places that they don't see every day.
That's why I think like annual inspections need to be a thing too. Like not just when you buy a house, but like when you buy a house, and I think people get panicked because they see, like, especially first time home buyers, it's like, oh, what am I gonna have to do? Like, it's like, no. This is just a list over the lifetime of your house. Like, this is like, it's okay, you know. But they get panicked, and it's like when they sell the house again, they haven't had an inspection in between, and it's like all of this stuff that show up because the inspection like 30 years ago, inspection 3 years ago isn't the same inspection that happens today, especially if nothing was addressed. It's just like you said, it's like people just don't know, and I don't think they just pay. I just don't pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's important because it's up to you to make sure this house is gonna.
And out here we have a lot of crawl spaces, and people don't go in their crawl space. It's not something that you do.
I don't even want to go in a crawl space.
See, there's something wrong with me because it's part of the job that I enjoy. I don't know. I have some sort of illness. It's a sickness.
That is a blessing.
Yeah.
It's his little boy explorer, I think.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. When I was younger and my dad built houses, I was going in crawl spaces when I was a little guy, so I thought it was so cool. And so it's like spelunking in a cave.
Yeah.
Except camel crickets still scare me.
They're like these spider things.
They look like spiders.
Do you have them out there?
No.
They're
no,
these enormous, like furry brown spiders.
But they're
crickets.
Yeah. And they jump at you. Yeah.
They jump at you. Like it's crazy.
Yeah. They're weird looking. But yeah. People don't go down there. And we have a lot of houses around here will have a water heater down in the crawl space.
Wow.
You know, so a lot of the times it's easy to get to. They put it near the entrance. But some of the older houses, you know, they might have it tucked way back there. And so, you know, a homeowner's not going to suit up in coveralls and go down there to flush the water heater. And so, they're just not going to last very long. Because they're not going down there unless they're having a plumber come out every year to look at it. And a lot of times they don't know that. And so you can put down in your notes, you know, have a plumber come out. One of the benefits I think that we saw was Homebinder. We started using Homebinder for our clients that we can put in like an automatic alert for them.
It's like their closing gift that once they close on their house, like we just email them a binder.
Yeah.
A digital like keeping of any work that they need or
gotcha. Kind of like a maintenance guide or something.
Yeah. And you can like pre-populate. It's a web-based kind of a cloud-based binder, and you can pre-populate in some reminders for maintenance.
Gotcha.
You know, flush the water heater this time of year, change the air filter every month. And they can play with it too. But we found that to be beneficial for the especially for the first time home buyers.
Yeah. And like utilities and what is it called? Not utilities, like refrigerators and appliances. Like any recalls, like Andrew will put in the appliance serial number for their particular appliance, and then like if there's a recall, it dings them.
Oh, okay.
Which is like no one pays attention to that. Like
no.
I don't.
No. Yeah. No. Nobody's going to go through and do a manual recall check on all their appliances.
I've never done that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And it's theirs for free so long as they own the house. And then they could pass it on to the new homeowner if they want to. But
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I like that idea.
Yeah. It's nice.
Okay.
But
we were about something like leaving like a maintenance catalog or something like that, a little book, binder or something. But this here is with today's technology, that's a lot easier for people to get it over the phone or email because they're checking that so often. Yeah.
Okay. I like it because it keeps log of like paint colors.
Yeah.
And I paint a lot. Like, so, So.
Yeah, like room by room paint log.
Yeah. During COVID, my house became my canvas. So literally we have several murals and it's like a lot of color in our house. It's crazy. It's like a rainbow threw up.
Rainbow threw up. Wow.
It's crazy.
It's not that bad.
This is the stormy room. This is the dark room.
Yeah, I like it.
Thank you.
We need some color in this house.
I know. We haven't really done anything to these walls, but one day it'll come. They look just like you see behind us.
Yeah.
You know,
it's good color.
Off-white. Yeah, exactly.
But Doug, I have to ask you this because, as a home inspector talking to another home inspector, you always have to ask this question. What is like the craziest thing that you've seen so far on an inspection?
The craziest thing.
You want to define that.
Well, I mean, it could be a person or...
Names and locations have been changed.
I mean,
not crazy, but what about the house the other day with the garage thing, the ceiling was gone.
That wasn't that big of a deal. That was just after the freeze, you know, the ceiling fell. I mean, I would say. Well, you know what? I would say the craziest thing that I've run into was I got hired to go inspect an investment property that was actually like a hoarder's home.
Ooh. Oh, those are, those are rich.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, and it was kind of like you go out there and I walk up to the property and I'm looking like, oh, I don't know about this one, you know, and just kind of, you know, I'm talking to her. Telling the man, I don't know about this one. You know, I'm not sure if I could even really do an inspection on this house, you know.
Yeah.
And so I get my bags and everything, and the realtor's there, and the owner, it was his mother's home.
Mm-hmm.
And so she had passed. Yeah. And so she had passed, and they were there, and there was another lady there trying to help him kind of, you know, figure everything out. And so I walk into the house, and I mean, there was just this little narrow path where I can go through the front door and kind of just kind of stop. I mean, I probably was 10 feet into the home, and that was about as far as I could go.
I feel like I've been in this place.
Yeah, you know, and so I'm looking around. I'm looking around like, and I'm just kind of shaking my head like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
You know, and so I had to walk. I walked out, and I was, and you know, I'm talking to her. I'm like, look, I can't do this. I can't inspect this house.
I don't understand. What
you know, she's like, well, you know, just try. I'm like, I can't inspect this house. You know what I mean?
Wow.
You know, because I mean, literally, you know, as an inspector, when you walk into a home, you especially a home like that, you're looking around like, okay, if I did try to do inspection, what I can maybe catch this outlet. But I can't, you know, I can't inspect the walls. I can't inspect the floors. I mean, because it was that bad. And so I just like, you know what? I'm not doing it. So I talked to the realtor. I said, look, I said, you know, she was on the phone with her, with the client. And I told him, I said, look, I can take your money, but I wouldn't feel right doing it. I said, you know, I said, this home doesn't, I mean, what I wanted to say was this home doesn't need an inspection. It needs to be torn down. You know what I mean? That's what I wanted to say. But, you know, I didn't say that. Just like, look, it's not an inspection you need. You know, you need more of somebody to come through here and really just clear this place out first and then, you know, check out what's going on. But an inspection for me is not going to help you right now.
God forbid you move the stack of newspapers and there's like something underneath. You know what I mean?
Just, yeah, you know, a hole in the floor. I mean, because it was that bad, you know.
Unbelievable.
So that was probably the craziest one I've come across in my time inspecting. There is an issue I'm beginning to see a lot of that's alarming to me is where these home builders are installing the exterior doors where they open outward of the home.
What have you seen out there? Because he's dealing with that a lot, to where the hinges of the door on the exterior of the home.
On
the outside of the
home. I have not seen that yet.
So you open
you can just break in by taking the hinges out.
Well, and that's the same thing, you know, where I'm just scratching my head like,
but
who would put a door on like this, you know? And then
two or three times a week.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, this is not, yeah, this, and it's, and we've heard from somebody that said there's a special type of pin in those hinges. And I was like, okay, that's cool. I mean, but it's still a safety issue.
Right.
You know, because somebody can block that door, and if your house is burning at the front, you can't get out the back unless you go through a window, right? And so,
What are y'all thoughts on that? What have you seen, Andrew, on that? Have you seen anything like that?
I think people are BSing that huge mistake.
It's every week.
That's crazy.
Yeah, no, with, I mean, with new construction, I haven't seen the doors installed that way, but there's been a lot where they'll put the HVAC unit, they'll install that up in the attic, and then they blow in the insulation.
Kindling.
and I go open up the burner compartment, and there's insulation packed inside the burner compartment.
I haven't seen anything like that, but yeah, I know what you're talking about, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, that's more common than the poor electrical work. That's been the thing.
Yeah, there's been some shoddy electrical work in some of the new construction, just because they're.
It's common in the homes that are in the 200 to 300s that are in like really nice neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. like really like nice zip codes that everybody wants to live, but if you find a home in like the more modest range, it's a guarantee. It's almost a guarantee, sorry, that it's gonna just be shoddy construction. Like
because
they cut so many corners.
Things like windows and stuff are like they're so behind in getting those installed. Among other things, I've got a new construction that keeps getting pushed back because they're not getting the electrical meter installed. And so because of all this, things being backed up, supply chain being screwed up, the price of wood being astronomical, the cross trade communication is just worse than before. And so guys are coming in to do something out of order, I guess, because
it's just chaotic.
The schedule is just so screwy. People are stepping over each other and getting in each other's way, you know, doing things like installing the air conditioner on the wrong side of the house.
It's the same thing out here. It's just this new construction. I just read an article the other day that 26% of the inventory out here in Houston is new construction. 26%.
Wow.
You know, and
people are scrambling. They're probably making like these super last minute hires just to make quote, they're what they promised, and that just sucks because now all these mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and, that's one of the reasons we always try to promote getting your home inspected.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's as a home inspector, that's a promotion tool that all home inspectors should use, because right now, these builders are going to be throwing these houses up way faster than they were already throwing them up. You know, and they're going to see that's the truth. But they're throwing them up already faster than they normally do, and there's going to be mistakes made. I mean, not intentionally. They just
humans.
They're human, and they make mistakes.
Trying to bust it.
Do y'all have about a 11-month warranty? Do y'all do 11-month warranties out there?
Yeah, I've had several of them. We've had a lot because there were a lot of people that bought new construction last year that
opted out,
that they didn't have an inspection.
Exactly.
And so
or like the builders were building, they were requiring this $1 million policy, which unless you do commercial, like we do commercial, so we have that, but we didn't start off doing commercial, so we didn't take the job because why on earth would we need $1 million policy? You know what I mean?
Builders were getting very strict on who they would let inspect their houses.
Right.
Wow.
Like a $250,000 home does not need $1 million policy.
No, it doesn't.
No.
We don't have that out here. The client here finds a third party inspector and they bring on whoever they want. So I don't, builders out there, they like to see us.
They don't care for the inspector here at all.
I think that's why lately more builders have been doing that, like just like you have to have this policy where it's
I had heard about that up in the Pacific Northwest, and then I don't know, a handful of months ago had the first interaction with a builder where we couldn't go in. We've alleviated that, but that was just kind of an odd one. But I've been trying to, if I meet with a superintendent or something, out in the field, I'm just trying to, I try to be diplomatic because I'm like, hey, I'm not a code inspector. I'm not coming out here to write you up.
Yeah.
Fined. I'm coming out here to help you because these are things you're going so fast, and we all know how, inventory and supply chain is right now.
Mm-hmm.
Think of this as just reminders. This is just a checklist. Your guys forgot to, put in strike plates. So it's more of a punch list for you. It's like, you're welcome. So I'm not coming in to, I don't want to insult your baby. That's not what I'm here for.
Right. Exactly.
So I don't know that that's caught on yet, but we'll see.
I mean, I like that. But here, it's like the client finds who they want to use. Mm-hmm. They try to line it up around kind of the initial walkthrough around that same time. It doesn't go in to get it. So they kind of work on that blue tape walkthrough and the walkthrough.
Yeah, my finding.
Yeah, at the same time.
Yeah. I think too, like, because this has been a trend with our 11-month warranties, is I don't know if this has happened with you guys, but we have dealt with most of the time we're not dealing with an agent when we do these, and so the buyer's wanting to go back to the builder with things that the builder isn't going to cover in the warranty. And so I think at least with us, that's where some of the bad taste in their mouth has come from, just because I'll write something up in the report just almost as an FYI to the client, take care of this. But then they're going to the builder to say, hey, fix this. And they're saying that, nope, it doesn't work that way.
I mean, and with the 11-month warranties we're seeing, the ones we've done, usually the client didn't do the inspection in the beginning. Mm-hmm. I did have my first one this week, actually, where the client actually had the property inspected prior to me inspecting it. And he wasn't, from what he was telling me, this guy was in and out within a matter of an hour or so. Oh, wow. And I was there close to 3 hours. The house is over 3,000 square feet, and so he was just, the client just was like, man, I appreciate your thoroughness, because the first guy was here, he was in and out and he didn't really find anything. And now you're telling me we have all this going on. I'm like, I don't know what to say, I said, you hired me to come here to be thorough and to find the things that are going on with your property before your warranty is up. And, and so I was able to kind of tell him, okay, you can take these things to the builder, they're gonna fix, these things, it's just more on you. And that's kind of how, whenever somebody's there, I'm able to tell them which ones the builder's gonna take care of, which ones the builders are not gonna take care of. The cosmetic stuff, which a lot of people, that's what kind of spurs this 11-month warranty thing, it's the cosmetic stuff. The cracks in the wall and stuff like that, because they don't understand that the house is going to move, it's like your house is going to move. You know that, right? And this is what's going to happen when it moves. But, being able to point those things out to them really helps them. So we're getting some traction with the 11 month. We haven't done a ton, but we're getting some traction.
Yeah, you've probably done maybe 10.
Yeah, maybe 10 or so. So
that's crazy.
What kind of extra stuff are you doing, other ancillary services? Do you have other services that you offer alongside, like water quality, indoor air, things like that? Or you got some lined up in the future? What's the deal there with you guys?
I mean, right now, all I'm doing ancillary is pool inspection.
Okay.
And I will do sprinkler systems as well. That's been mainly on new construction on the sprinkler system. And we include that. That's not, I don't charge anything for that, for the sprinkler system. The pool we do, but the other ancillary services, I've kind of signed up for the termite thing, the WBI, inspection. So, I got to get that done when I can find time to sit down and actually do it.
We
partnered with a termite company.
Great termite company out here. We just give them all business. They used to come the same time Doug is there.
Yeah.
They're so big that we usually don't have to worry about any type of scheduling issues.
No.
They have a lot of guys work for them. And so we can get them out there when Doug's there, because then Doug has the Supra.
Nice.
And they can do it at the same time.
As far as ancillary services, it's not a lot that I'm looking into. Because my thing is this, I want to be great at being a home inspector. And I can go out and add all these ancillary services, but it's really taking away from at least in my opinion. I just feel it's taking away from, you know, my growth as being a great home inspector. So if there are some things that we can contract out to other services, you know, the people that are the professionals, then, you know, we'll do it. If it's something that we feel we can do in-house, then we do it in-house, like the pool thing. That kind of just goes along with the home inspection or the sprinkler.
And then Texas, we don't have a lot. Like Texas, we don't, from what I'm seeing, I mean, I take teeth and whatever, we don't have a lot of radon.
We don't have radon. We don't even say the word mold.
That's
an organic growth. That's not mold.
Microbial growth.
Big one to add, he did that to your magic. But we don't have, there's not a lot to add. Now, there could be like the bigger inspector firms might do septic, sewer scope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do all of that.
But sometimes if he gets, we can't add too much because he's just, you know, the sole inspector. He'd be at one property all day.
Yeah.
You know, so right now we're able to do two a day. So right now it's pretty much pool. And then he does sprinkler systems. He just includes it. If he sees one on new construction, he throws it in there because that's usually where the problem is on the new construction.
Yeah.
So he'll just add that in there as just a bonus.
I like that
because he likes to do, or was like getting super excited when we first started about doing the side stuff, and I was like, no, like, you know what I mean, like, do the inspection, get that, you know what I mean?
I get all
like
excited
with what you were saying. I'm like, you know, and I'm like, no, because he loves studying and learning, and it's like, no, you need to do now. And like, so he's been doing it and like getting,
I calm down a little bit,
he calmed down because I'm like, if you, like, there are some things that are, like, worth doing. You know what I mean? Yeah, especially in our area because, like, we have all four seasons and it's the South, so you get the humidity. So, like, there are things worth doing here. But, like you said, the longer you take on the actual inspection, the less time, if you have two inspections or three inspections in a day, the less time you have to sit down with those people and you want to make sure.
Exactly.
Like, because, you know, that's what I like what you were saying before, because it's so countercultural. Like people, I remember when we were like talking with somebody who wanted us to do, you know, market with them, that like is like, everybody like loves getting attention from this place. And they're like, you have to get better policies because you can't be doing that. And I'm like, no, that's not how we're running our business. Like, we're not going to like notch it and like, bang in, bang out. Like we want to take the time because we actually care about what we do.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like we don't want to be blown up tomorrow with like all of this business, like and have to grow before, like, the culture is super important. Like that first, like every hire, but especially the first hire is literally crucial. So I like your approach. Like, is it like our approach? It's like you care more about the core and the why and the client.
Then you
do care about hiring people just to make money. It's like, making money's nice, but that's not why we're in the game.
No,
you know? So
no,
it's just
it's a first things first kind of mentality.
Right.
You
know? It's like,
exactly.
Yeah, it's like no
transactional.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, we want to when I leave the property, I want to leave an impression that I care, that I'm concerned.
Yeah.
That you can call me, text me, email me. I will return that call, text, or whatever, because I actually care that, you know, you have what you need to be able to go into this home and actually maintain it and live in it without any concern. I don't want to get into this business and all of a sudden I got all of this overhead and I got all of these, because I gotta offer all these services now, and now my price has got to go through the roof and people don't want, you know, it's like, no, that's not for me. I mean, I'm not saying it's wrong, but it's just not for me. So
we're starting to also see where people are referring their friends to us, because I always try to remember to ask, like, how did you hear about this? And then they'll say, oh, well, you did one for my neighbor. I'm like,
word of mouth.
To kind of have a diversified income to where it's coming from all areas.
Different sources.
Now, when people are actually referring their friends or family, and they're finding us themselves, you know, on social media, or just Googling us because of the SEO and the reviews. You know, it's just been coming from everywhere now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's so, not wanting to dominate the market. It's wanting to make an impact in the market that you are.
Yes. Amen. I mean, in my mind, this approach will get you where you're trying to go. Because I mean, people want to work with people that they know care. Mm-hmm. That's just all it is to it. Because I look at it from the perspective, how would you want to be treated if you were a client?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, that's my approach to it. You know, I want somebody that's going to be dedicated to what they do. Mm-hmm. If I call you in, I mean, I've had my property, we bought two homes like we talked about, and we've had both of them inspected, and did we ever really talk to them?
We got a report
and never really heard. Yeah, you know, and I wasn't an inspector then, but right now I'm really finding things. So, but it's just, we
called the whole house.
But you want to be treated the way you want to treat your clients the way you want to be treated,
mm-hmm.
and that's just that's the simple way of putting it. You know, our approach to it, and It's working. We've been fortunate.
And another thing, we want to make sure we always stay reasonably priced.
Yes.
You know, for our clients. You know, we don't want to, you know, all of a sudden get the big head or go too big.
You know,
we want to be reasonably priced for what we're seeing as our clientele right now.
Yeah.
You know, so that's something that we're on purpose doing and making sure mm-hmm. we keep.
Yeah,
for sure. Well, guys, this has been wonderful. I mean, we really love talking to folks like you and you know, Doug. The way you do things, it makes me proud to be an inspector. So,
I appreciate it.
I'm really glad that we got to talk to you because I believe that it's good, you know, for us to kind of hang out with like-minded individuals in our, especially in our industry, because there are a lot of pockets of the industry that. Really aren't as client involved. That's not really what I want to be a part of.
No.
And so I'm thankful for what you're doing. So why don't you tell us where can we go to learn more about what you do?
Well,
you can go. You want to?
Sure. You can go to.
She's my marketing person.
All right.
Home inspection. .com. You go to Instagram also, which is at HTX Home Inspection PLC, I believe. And then Facebook, HTX Home Inspection as well. They can call us 281-816-7007 and serve the greater Houston, Texas area.
Yep.
Right on.
That's
anything
awesome.
Else you guys wanted to talk before we wrap it up?
No, I just want to let you know I appreciate you answering all my questions whenever I have them.
Yeah.
And thanks for being so approachable and awesome. When I heard you guys on the big tour, I just felt a connection and I just wanted to reach out. And it's been so helpful because before then, you know, I didn't know of another husband and wife doing it. And y'all were about a year into it. And I was probably 2 months into it. It was very helpful. So I appreciate it and enjoyed following you guys on Instagram and your boys as well.
And thank you for reaching out because I love talking to you. I think we talk like every day. if not every other day. I'll figure it out. We'll brainstorm.
So I guess the one question I have before we get out of here, did you guys, when you started the business, was it just you thinking you were going to do it on your own or did you guys just kind of know you were going to do it together?
Yeah, we knew we were going to do it together.
Right out the gate.
Yeah.
We were actually going to do a luthiering. We were going to be luthiers. Build guitars.
Oh, really? You're going to be in a band? What did you say?
He was going to build it, and I was going to paint and, do the ceiling and all that.
Yeah,
like,
we were going to do something together. Yeah, because I came from a music background. I was a professional musician prior to this. And
I'm an artist. Okay. I'm good with painting and sculpting and all that kind of stuff. So we were going to just make guitars.
But then you did home inspection. So different.
Yeah, our mentor talked us off the ledge there. So we were all gung-ho about it. And he was like, we could, and we're going to.
Yeah.
And he was like, you have two young kids. what else can we do that's more lucrative? Yeah.
Yeah. Something's going to put, you know, some food on the table.
Yeah. Keep the lights on.
Yeah. Don't have to move to, like, Nashville.
Yeah. So, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And that same here, we knew we wanted to do this together.
Yeah.
It was just kind of one of them things, like, no, we're going to do it together, because I know me, I'm focused. Like I said earlier, I just want to get the work done. And she's more of, she, you know, had already started a business, kind of that business mind, marketing and all that. And I mean, it's been great. Yeah, exactly. You know, she's catching the call. She's calming down all the clients, you know, talking them off a cliff and all that other stuff. And then when I get there, I kind of, you know, carry on from where she left off. So it's been great. You know, I never thought me and my wife could work together. But here we are doing it now, and it's wonderful.
Yeah,
that's awesome. That's, I love hearing that.
Yeah, too cool.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. You know, we appreciate you guys reaching out to us for this.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time.
Yes. Thank you so much.
We haven't done a lot of these, but we're getting practice, right? but I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, thank you guys so much, and we'll put some links for you guys down in the description. So,
all right, thank you so much. Talk to you tomorrow, Sarah.
Have a great Mother's Day.
All right, y'all take care. Have a great day.
All right, see ya.
Bye.